Here in the house of iShook. Bishop, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. What's new? What's happening?
What's up, Benny? How you doing, brother? How you been, man? You know what? You're looking pretty good. They got a Santa Claus going on.
Yeah. People always compliment.
I'm digging that. I'm digging that little trim right there. That's all right. Oh, man. I thank you for having me on the show, man. I appreciate it.
Definitely. Always. So talk to me. What's new? What's happening with your, where, I mean, we want to know who you are. Listen, we want to know what you've been, what you've done. And I always try to tell all those who I interview, when you're in the movie business, and I know you've been in WWE and wrestling, right? When you're in the business, you are also an entrepreneur in my eyes. You are, yep. You are the entrepreneurs. You are the headliner of entrepreneurship.
I am my own product.
That's awesome. That's good. That's something that, there you go.
We get the action figures and the stand-ups and you become your own. I mean, you're your own business entity.
Wow.
Okay. So that is one thing.
How do you become that? How do you become that? You're getting me excited, by the way. Like with the muscles already, I'm already excited. Look at that.
Man, you know what, Benny, I'm going to tell you the truth. It's a long road. And I think that's the problem a lot of people don't get. When they get into this business, they want to move out to L.A. Somebody and told them, oh, you know, you're cute. You're this, you know, but do you have a beep button?
I don't have it, but you can go. I'll beep it and edit.
Okay. Well, you know, I think what it is, a lot of people, they get that where somebody says, you know, oh, you're good looking, you're this. And, you know, like you're the best thing. Well, like my dad used to say, in certain areas, you're the best thing on a pile of shit. So you're just the top piece of shit. But when you go out to LA, when you go out to, you know, when you get in the real movie business, when you get in the real wrestling business, you know, now you got to bring it, man. There's no more, there's nobody being nice telling you, oh, you're good, because now you have to be. When they tell you you're good, when they tell me I'm good now, it's because I have to be, not, oh, I just did a good job. You know, it's not a pat on the back. You know what I'm saying? So there's a lot that people don't think about. And when you start turning it into a business, when you start understanding the fact that your name becomes your business, and that's all you got, your name and your word. That's it. That's it. That's what you got. You know what I'm saying? So that's, you know, if I tell you we're going to do some, you know, I'm going to do your show. I don't care what else I got to do. I'm going to be here Tuesday at 3:00 to do your show. because that's a business, you know, that this is business. You know, I mean, you cool and all, we cool, but I'm saying, you know.
No, I got you.
Got to look at it that way.
So have you ever seen repercussions of people not, I guess, keeping their word or doing, yeah, there's huge repercussions, I guess.
Oh, man. Yeah. I mean, I got people. Now we're doing a movie. We're putting together the first African-American serial killer biopic. There's never been one about an African-American serial killer. Derek Tilley, the movie's called the Baton Rouge Serial Killer. Derek Tilley was active doing in Baton Rouge, Louisiana from 1993 to 2004.
Wow. Okay.
He suspected that they got him for seven murders. They got his DNA for seven murders, but they believe he did more than 14.
Wow.
Okay. So back to your question. Yes. And it's so funny how many actors and people don't remember the fact that I'm an actor first. And now I'm doing producing, you know? So it's amazing to me now watching it from this side, how many people give their word or they say stuff. Are they come to you? Here's the funny one. I've had people come to me, and then as we get closer to filming next month, something came up, or I can't do this, or blah, blah, blah. You know, it's like, we're getting ready to make history, and you want to wait a month before? So, yeah. Yeah, those are... those are people that you can bet I will be very leery of working with in the future. That's the best way I can. Not that I don't love them in a friendship sense. You know, I could be your friend and not want to work with you.
Right. That one has nothing to do with the other. It's separate from each other.
Yeah, we're
together. Doesn't mean I got to do business with you because, you know,
I got to
make money. I can't sacrifice my money for your money.
Exactly. And, you know, and that is the best point you can say. I cannot sacrifice my money for your money. I cannot sacrifice my film for whatever else you want to go do. You know, all I can do is say, okay, well, we'll replace you and, you know, and keep it pushing. That's all we can do is keep it pushing. So, yeah, the repercussions in my mind, most people who know me will tell you, I consider, you know, they will say I'm easy to work with. I'm very dependable. And I am going to do whatever I can to make your production the best it can be. You know, a production that we were just doing out in Vegas. I'm a former pro wrestler, and I stepped in and started helping put together the stunts, the stunt fighting. Not because the stunt guy wasn't good, but because he did not understand the other actors, actually, because I had to step in on two of them. They were not ready. Mm. So I'm like, dude, let's all this stuff that you put together, these guys, I mean, he's rattling off all this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And I can see it in one guy's face. This was his first movie. This was truly his first acting gig. He was worried about lines and delivery, and now you want to toss on his shoulders a crazy fight scene.
Wow.
Nah, man, you know, let me tell you what we gonna do.
But the reality is what you're telling me is that in the industry, you also have to be like a teacher in a sense.
Yes. Yes.
You have to be able to convey information and make sure it's comprehended by the individual receiving that information.
Exactly. You know, because I work in Chicago with some of the top stunt guys. And that was the other thing, you know, on top of my wrestling background, you know, I guess, you know, he didn't really understand the fact that I've been trained by some of the top stunt guys in the business, in Chicago PD, Chicago Fire, things of that sort. So I guess he didn't think about that. But the whole point is still, any stunt coordinator I've ever worked with, the first thing they do is they want to know what you as an actor are comfortable doing.
Okay. I got
it. Okay. You cannot wait till you're on set and put together fight scenes and situations and expect all the, and you don't know what the actors can do.
Right. You can't be a surprise. It can't be a surprise.
Exactly.
It's got to be prepped. So is that negligence in your production side of as a producer? Is that negligence upon the stunt coordinator where he's not picking up in the call and saying, "Listen, I got to prep you guys," or is it the negligence of the production side? What's the negligence on?
No, and I would say it goes more. I hate to say it, but I would truly say it goes more to the stunt because production people don't always know. I mean, as a producer, I trust my people to do their job.
I got you.
I trust you to do your job. Just like I trust the actors to know their lines and do their job. You know, that's like saying the city of, you know, St. Louis, where I live, the city, you know, they trust each police officer to do their job.
Right.
But you can't, you know, all you can do is trust that somebody gonna go out there and do that, they're gonna go out there and do the proper job. Right. So I don't badmouth nobody, but I do feel that anytime you have physical anything between two people, you need to know what each one is comfortable with and what they can do. And to me, that is definitely the stunt guy's job. That is his job. If we ask you to do this, how do you feel about it? Don't ask me to jump off a 10-story building if I'm afraid of heights.
Exactly. Find out that I'm afraid of heights first before you're telling me to do that. So basically, I understand what you're saying. You're saying the producer end is more of a delegation of work and organizing that everybody's in sync. So
exactly. The
stunt coordinator has to say, listen, producer, this is what we need to do. We need to prep this months in advance. It's his obligation to inform you to make sure to make the links. And if he doesn't inform you, that means it's his fault because you're not telling me we got to prep for a 10 jump scene. For all I know, we're going to CGI the hell of that thing with the green screen. He's jumping 2 feet.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Exactly. And then when you got And then when you got your actors themselves are doing, you don't have stunt, you have the actors themselves doing it. Now that's a whole, I mean, again, you're talking about a whole nother ball game, because what if one of them gets hurt?
Right.
What happens to the rest of your filming if one of your leads get hurt?
That's it. You're stuck for months.
Exactly.
I know Jackie Chan, in many of the documentaries, that was a problem in his production, where he would get injured and the production will stop for months at a time.
Yeah. Well, remember, that's what happened with Tom Cruise's last film. He did some crazy jump, wanted to do it on his own, and shattered his foot and ankle. And I mean, they were shut up for 2 or 3 months.
Oh, I didn't even know that. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
It's the first thing I heard. I didn't even know that. I apologize. Someone's calling me in business wise. It's our actual producer.
Let me tell them that we're busy. They know you're talking to me and they wanted to jump in. So, you know, I get it. Whoever you are, much love.
No, it's Diane. I got to tell Diane. Diane, our producer.
Oh,
Diane,
yeah.
I am with Bishop. All right. Honey Pod. I don't think I'm not gonna take this out of the.
No, you gotta leave this in there. You really gotta leave that in there. And we gotta let everybody know Diana is my talent manager, guys.
Yes.
You know, she's making sure that I made the show. So yeah.
Yeah, so I know that. I'm also happy that Diana is working with Aishuk as well. I'm very excited about that. Wait to do her podcast. She's like a powerhouse, you know, and I'm doing a lot of prep on that for her. You know, she's a powerhouse, no doubt about that.
You know what? You couldn't work with a better person. You couldn't work with a more, you know, driven person. You know, I mean, she drives. I mean, she drives. She's a driver, man. And you know, I even with what we're doing with the serial killer film and stuff like that, and some other things, it amazes me how she's able to keep things, you know, straight, you know, and be, you know, with all the stuff, you know, I mean, 3 or 4 different projects, family, all the girl, come on.
Plus you got to deal with me.
You know what I mean? Wait. You said it. Nah.
Go ahead.
I was just saying that really, you know, that all goes back to my wrestling, you know, I mean, no matter what anybody says, wrestlers, you know, I mean, in my mind, we are truly the best athletes in the world. And I'm not taking away from football players or basketball players, anything like that. But if a wrestler gets hurt on Monday night, he still has to go out there on Wednesday night and perform. So it's very important, or he don't get paid, no matter who you are.
Wow.
So that's why, you know, I've always learned it's important to prep. It's always important to go over everything and make sure everybody's comfortable. Don't try to give me some crazy move off the top rope and I don't know it or I'm not comfortable with it, because somebody's going to get hurt. And it's the same principle in movies. It's the same thing in movies. You always got to make sure everybody's comfortable with what's going on.
So how much, because I spoke to another actor and his like business acumen helps him a lot in understanding production. And I'm sure in wrestling, you understand production a lot more, per se, let's say in a regular business or whatever it is. I mean, you understand that's the entertainment itself as well. So right. It's like sports meets entertainment together in one unified play, right? And playing when you're actually wrestling, how much does that help you in knowing and success and your actual success in actual filmmaking? Like, that's something I always wanted to understand. How does businesses or past experiences help today's experience of creating film or acting in film?
Well, I think, and this in my mind is where a lot of actors who don't get into the business side, this is where I think they lose it, because they don't understand. I mean, you hear stories of actors, what they call phoning it in. I'm just going to phone in my performance. They just phone in a performance. They don't understand, or they're not thinking. Maybe they are, but they're not thinking about the fact every movie I do, anybody will tell you, from the lowest budget to the high. And then I've done some multi-million-dollar things recently. And I've done everything from featured extra all the way up to now I'm doing, you know, now I do mostly leads, or at least heavy supporting. everyone you do, you have to give your all. If I can't give my all, you know what? I'm working on this. I can't give you my all. Either we change the filming date or you might want to replace me. Because if I can't give you all, business-wise, I know I'm going to screw up your film.
Wow.
I'm not going to make you, I'm not going to get the attention in that character that you want me to. And I mean, take a look at me, bro. I mean, if I'm not getting it, if my big ass ain't getting the attention that that character needs, the film will suffer. And if the film suffers, money suffers. Money suffers, your reputation suffers, and then my reputation suffers. So business-wise, it's kind of like saying Coke and Pepsi. At one point in time, Coke had a bad reputation, you know, right, for what was in it.
Right.
Okay? Same soup, different bowl.
But ultimately, it comes down to what you're saying. You got to be a little bit selfish, too. It's your brand. Why it's ruin my, your exactly. brand? Why you ruin your name? Why ruin your brand? I mean, you want to be in every film, whether good or bad, or whether successful yep. or not successful. You want it because we don't know what success is ultimately when a film comes out.
That's
you
know,
you
true.
Hundreds of millions of dollars and it flops.
Yeah,
with $1 million and it makes 100, 200 million. You never
500. Know. Wait. $500,000 gets you 5 million, you know, 500 million. If you talk about, you know, a good horror show, you know, I mean, you know, go all the way back to, you know, to a lot of the old where the acting was just so good and they were just on point, you know, right. I mean, so yeah, it's, you look at the business part and every actor that gets in front of a camera should be saying, this is, even if you don't like the script, I mean, even if you don't like the script, if you don't like the director, you don't like the producer, the point is that movie, if it gets finished, your brand is at odds with the production, I mean, with the performance you give.
Right.
No doubt. That's what I'm saying. I have no problems going up to a director and saying, hey, man, this ain't working. You know, this is not going to work right. You know what I mean? Can we try, you know, and I ask. It don't hurt that, you know, if you don't ask, the answer's always going to be no.
Of course.
So yeah, I walk up to a producer and a director and I say, man, you know, this is, I don't know about, can we try this? And if you, maybe you like it better, you know, I mean, it only going to take a couple minutes, you know? So, you know, unless we're burning daylight real bad, most of the time, once I explain it to them, they'll say, yeah, and I, you know, we'll just give it a shot. And like I said, even if the script sucks or the movie sucks or whatever else, like you said, good, bad, or indifferent, we, as a businessman, if you look at your performance and you say, as a businessman, is this going to get me an award? Is this going to get me in the spreadsheets? Are people like you going to want to interview me after you see this? You might hate the movie, but you'll say, but the standout was Bishop Stevens.
Right.
You know, and that's right. That's where the business side comes in. That's where you got to think about the business side and knowing how to negotiate,
right. negotiate. You know? Right, no doubt. Negotiation is always the key. The art of negotiation is always important.
I always get actors, and it kills me how the first thing they say out their mouth, what's your budget? What's the budget? What do you care what the budget is? What does the budget of a film have to do with my cost, what you're going to pay me?
Right.
What's your budget for the character, maybe? But that's not what they ask. They want to know what the budget for the film is. Well, if your budget for the character is only 10 grand, it doesn't matter if the film's $1 million. Right. You're only going to give you, your budget for the character is 10 grand. All so right. As a businessman, I have to decide whether or not that is worth me doing it or if I can negotiate with you maybe another 2 to 3 to 5.
So that makes me question, based on what you're saying, is that person a real actor or an actress or not? Because if their first thing is looking for the money before the work, I don't think that they're going to make their work is, you know, and that's because that's number one rule in business. If you're thinking about the money before the work, then we have a problem. Then we have a problem because that's not normal.
You don't go to the store to buy a steak and you get out the car thinking about the price. You're thinking about that steak.
Exactly.
You're thinking about that
damn steak. The price comes after once you've collected all your material. That's right. Then you start playing, right. Okay, I can take this, I can take that.
Now you start grubbing that steak and you go, this steak was worth every penny. Or you can start eating that steak and go, I paid how much for this shit? You know, so again, if you're looking at it, so that's, again, you're looking at it the wrong way. You should be looking at you should be looking at, okay, they're going to pay me 10, they got 10 grand, and this is a movie that will go somewhere. I don't care what I don't care what your budget is. I just want to know, you know, hey, look, how many scenes am I in, what my character is, what level is the character, supporting lead or whatever else, and what are you going to pay me? That's all I need to know. I don't need to know the rest. I don't need to know what you're paying, how much money you got for production. Actually, I hope you got good money for production, because the production can make it look, will make everything look better.
Right. But at the same time, it's not necessarily your place as an actor, I guess that's what you're saying, to ask for the budget, because you're not my partner. You're my hired help. You're my hired work. I'm hiring you to play my film. Do you want it? Yes or no? We go to the next person. That's also another thing that people don't realize. You cannot string along people in their projects. Either you're in or you're out. I mean, you got to be clear on that fact. I mean, because you can always replace someone. And sometimes I think it comes out to be, you know, by luck that, okay, he's out. Now I got someone better. You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's how the world works. You know, you always, you know, I always tell people in business, you never close a door. Because when you close the door, 10 doors close. Let them close the door. When they close the door, you're out. You're free of not closing the door. And then another 10 doors open. And then another 10 doors open. I mean, you give everybody an opportunity and you make everybody try to make everybody happy. And then you'll always succeed in everything. And you'll get the right people at all times.
Well, and in the end, it's so funny. In the end, that same door normally opens back up for you somewhere down the line.
Exactly. Agreed. Yes.
It might not be today. It might not be tomorrow. But by the time it's over, that door will open back up and say, hey, man, you know, and that like nothing ever happened. It never happened. They'd be like, hey, and you'd be like,
let me think about that. Let me think about that. That's very interesting.
Let me get back to you. I'll call you back. I'm not saying no, I'm saying I'll call you back.
So how much, let me ask you, because I know you do the stunts. How many stunts do you do yourself personally? Or do you have a double? What is it? How does that work? What's your take on those things?
Well, I like, I'm kind of stupid. I like doing stunts. I mean, I'm a former pro wrestler. So I like taking bumps. I like making sure it looks good. Most times it's not too hard. It's not too hard when you think about the type of fighting and stunts and things that I do. It would probably, now if I had to fall off of something, you know, into a big bag or something like that, then you would have to get me a stunt double, things of that sort. If I had to fall off a horse or a motorcycle, something like that. But my fight scenes, I love doing those, whether they be martial arts or wrestling or, you know, boxing or fight stuff, I love doing that. And I don't mind, because of my pro wrestling background, if I'm working with the right person, I don't mind showing them, you know, the hit. You know, we don't mind. You know, like there's a lot of actors, don't get close to their face. Boy, you better swing. You better be way back here.
All right.
But me, because of my background, no, I mean, as long as you keep it in a certain area,
you're fine.
I'll take it. You know, as long as you keep, now you hit me in the face, we gonna go outside.
Because again, that's your brand, your face, brand.
We gonna go outside.
Right.
Yeah, you know, if I show you where to hit, you know, try to stay away from the ear. Don't pop my ear. But yeah, you know, if you know how to, you know, I mean, you know, you remember The Rock, you know, The Rock punch. You know, The Rock. You know, you watch Dwayne throw punch, you know.
Yeah, Dwayne, God bless the guy.
Yeah, you know, the open hand. Yeah, you know, the open hand. So as long as you hit in certain areas, I'm fine, you know.
So I think that actually makes you actually worth higher than, I guess, others, like in value. Because if you're willing to do those stunt fees, I'm getting one guy, two for the price of one, in a sense.
Exactly. Well, three, if you let me coordinate my stuff.
Right. I got you.
Three,
yes.
Yeah, three, if you let me coordinate the stuff, because I'm going to get with the other actor and we're going to put together some stuff that we both are not only comfortable doing, but we both know we can do. And like I said, I love good stunt coordinators, but I learned a long time ago, like I said, and recently, sometimes they come in and they read the script and they have all this stuff in mind. We did a body slam in this last thing, but the original thing was him body slamming me. Now, this guy was, you know, 5'6", 5'7", 140-something pounds. And the stunt coordinator thought it would be cool if he picked up the 6'2", you know, 270-pound, you know, guy and slammed him. And I'm like, are you crazy?
That's not possible. You're trying to go against physics, man. You got to CGI that stuff, man.
I'm like, dude, you better put some wires on me. You know, I mean, come on, man. But so I switched it around and it looked great. You know, we did the slam and then he kicked up. And then when I went over him, he pulled, you know, and, you know, so yeah, we put together a hell of a scene.
Wow. I mean, that's commendable upon you that you said, okay, let's do it. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. Oh, I don't mind trying something, but I'm not going to be stupid with it either.
Right. We're not going to do fancy, you know.
Yeah. We better have John Woo directing and letting this out with some hell of a martial arts stuff for me, you know, for all that. But everything else, I mean, like I said, I have fun doing the stunts. Like I said, it kind of takes me back to my wrestling days without me having to go home and be in the bathtub for 2 or 3 days, you know, wow, trying to recover. Yeah.
So that's how tough it is in wrestling, huh? 2-3 days recovery. Man.
But I mean, once you sign a contract, you're on the road, you know, 4 to 5 days a week. And that all builds up to the big show, the big Monday night or Sunday night or Friday night show. So the others, you're practicing and working on it. You know, I mean, I've wrestled some really big names in my life. And the bad thing was all big names have a big move that they finish with or a big move that you have to take somewhere during the match. And sometimes it's several of them, you know? So, yeah, so basically you're getting, you know, big suplexes 5 times a week, or you're getting a rock bottom 3 times a week, or you're getting this and that 4 times, you know? So, yeah, by the time you come home, you're just like,
Really winded then. You're like, oh, really?
Man. Oh, man.
Now, how, for the movies, are you always exercising and buffing up always? Yeah. I mean, I can.
Well, imagine. I'm actually trying to slim down now. I'm the Derek Todd Lee movie, and there's characters I would like to play that I would always like to play. But I've noticed if you get too big, it won't look right because on camera, you're always going to look 15 pounds bigger. Okay. So, you know, when I met Hugh Jackman and, you know, Harvey Carvel, you know, I meet these guys and I'm going, you
right. Hey, I'm like, smaller than they are.
Yeah, you know, and recently I had a really, really, really nice conversation. And it was brought to my attention that the bigger you get, there's only so many people you can work with.
I got you.
You know, you get too big, you will never work with a Tom Cruise. You will never work, you know, with the lead on certain television, shows. Because in real life, it wouldn't go, you know, you beating them up, it wouldn't happen. Them beating you up would not happen.
How do you explain Dwayne Johnson with his enormity and how?
Because he is the lead.
Okay, so he can never be a supporting leader.
I mean, who's gonna fight him? I mean, now he could always be, well, like if he would have to be like a Superman, Black Adam type thing, you know. And sure enough, if you put Dwayne next to Harvey, you're gonna see a huge size difference.
Right.
But then we are talking about superheroes and Superman, so Superman has fuck Darkseid and big old huge monster guys.
Right, so it's sellable. It's sellable, yes, to the viewer.
Right,
but now
let's take Dwayne and put him back on Fast and Furious, where he's fighting that Jason Statham. So now you got Statham who's like here, and The Rock is like. So,
right.
Does it look right if Statham takes? You know, I don't care how good he is in martial arts, you're kicking Dwayne and he's going, excuse me. You know? So you have to think about how it's played. I mean, like one of
For sure there's, so you're definitely showing there's limitations to yes. size.
Yes. I mean, I'm trying to get down to a good 240. Okay. I figure that would be a good, 6'1", 6'2", 240. That puts me in, Vin Diesel's like 220. That still puts me where I can do something against with The Rock. But then again, I can also do something with Harvey. I can also do something with any superhero guy out there. Right.
That's the medium. So the 220 is the medium.
Well, wow. for me, I think it'll be 240.
240. Okay, the 240.
Yeah, 220. Because that also like I was on Chicago PD. I've been on Chicago PD several times, and they keep me away from those main characters. If you ever notice, they keep me away from the main characters because, as a matter of fact, the only time I was ever supposed to deal with one of the men was the big black guy. But
I don't remember.
I don't know his character either. But I'm just saying that's the only time that they were going to cross that path. And even when I was, on The Walking Dead, when I walked onto the set, they were like, "You're going to go back here. We're going to put you back here. You're okay."
Okay, so it's because of the height and the weight class. That's what they're saying.
Well, the size. Like I said, if you are Tom Cruise, think about it. Sometimes if you're one of them actors who want your film to look realism, I think that's one of the things that I've always admired about the John Wick stuff is when he's fighting big guys, he gets his ass whooped. And yes. then he grabs a pencil or something.
Right, and they hit some sort of nerve that shuts him down.
Yeah. But in the fight itself,
he's losing.
He's getting his butt kicked, and he's one of the only people that does that. The John Wick is one of. I mean, there's a couple others, but there's only a few.
But I think that's the reason why that movie was so successful is because it was unrealistically realistic.
Realistic. To the point that he's running through the thing, hiding guns places. He didn't just pop up with a gun.
It's like a crazy story, but there's realism to the story. By the way, it's more like one thing I like, and I tell people is this very simply. Today, a lot of, and this may be something I've noticed, a lot of young people, especially young men, are gamers. They play video games.
Yeah.
The video games are created, even though they're a fantasy or something that's not right, something that's not probable. Nevertheless, the reality is they made the experience realistic. That's right. Where Metal Gear Solid was number one. It is one of the biggest games out there. Metal Gear Solid, where every gun, if I shoot a bottle, you'll see it fit. And based on physics, it will go to a certain position. It will click in a certain way. John Wick movie did exactly the same thing.
Yeah,
they showed an immersion of a story of a fantasy, but then we kept it real. We kept it real. The guy gets beaten up, like you said, and that's the realism involved in it.
That's it. I mean, he's one. I mean, if you go through, I bring up Tom Cruise a lot, but that's because we all know in real life he's only 5'6". So he's 5'6", he's not a big muscular guy or whatever else, but yet he beats up five guys at one time without them barely putting a hand on him. But then by the same token, you got the one guy that's on, Reacher.
They got okay. You mean the TV series or the movie?
Either one, the big, the big blonde used to be a football player guy.
Yeah.
He's huge and he takes on five guys. Now, who's more believable to take on five guys? And not be touched.
Oh, Tom Cruise is able to make he's able to sell it to me. I'll be honest with you. Because first of all, I don't know. I didn't know Tom Cruise was 5'6". I don't look at Tom Cruise as 5'6".
He's shorter than half the women that's in his films, man. He's shorter than most of the women. But then you got, that guy, fighting the same number of guys, same fight scene, don't get touched, breaks bones, does whatever else. But this guy's 6'4", 200, And so it's more realistic that when he takes a punch, he's going to go, you know, right. Tom Cruise take a punch, turn around and pop up. It was like, dude, come on.
I got what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. It makes sense with what you're saying. In comparison now from the film to the show, yes, it's more realistic now to understand that reach. But if you don't have that comparison, no one will be able to make that distinction. You know what I mean?
Yeah. See, it was kind of like, and again, remember, I go back to my wrestling days a lot. Remember that. I go back to my wrestling days a lot when you had Arn Anderson, Rick Lee, the four horsemen guys like that. I mean, all these guys were 240, 260-pound guys, you know. And I, as much as I love Ray. I mean, Ray Mysterio and I, we go back. We've been on the road together. But, you know, the idea that they had him fighting the giant.
Right.
You know, it's like, and here you got Hulk Hogan having two battles with the giant. But, you know,
it shows performance in WWE as well.
Well, and again, it's just what's believable and what's not. You know, if I do your movie, I've read the script and I want to say, I don't want, like you said, the gamers are the double watchers, you know, the people to watch a movie four or five times to see what don't make sense so that they can type about it, the keyboard warriors, because I don't want them coming back saying, this is stupid. This didn't make sense. This doesn't work. How is this possible? Bad sheets, and people don't understand it. For some reason, it's not like it used to be in the movies. People just go to the movies. If they didn't like the movie, they just didn't. They just told a couple of people. Now they go back and they pick your movie apart. And before you know it, it's all across the web.
I didn't think about that. I didn't realize that. Yes, you're right. Today it's more... Yeah, you got a lot. You got to make sure the movie is done in a proper fashion, no doubt.
Yeah. You got to think about what makes sense. And again, you know, you got to think about what makes sense for the characters. If you write something, you have to believe what you're writing, and then you have to look back and read it again and say what somebody else believed. You know, we know who Superman is. We know what Superman is capable of. We notice how fast Superman is supposed to be compared to the Flash.
Right.
But yet, when people fight the Flash, half the time they can't put their hands on him.
Right.
But they always put their hands on Superman.
Right. But I understand the definition of that is that Superman holds back.
He holds back. There you go. See, that's what I'm saying. They have to understand it has to make sense.
Right. So if you know Superman. So if you know the DC genre of that comic, then you understand he holds back because
he holds back.
Unleash himself totality. Because if he unleashes him totality, he's afraid to destroy the earth. I mean, that's the concept.
If Superman ran as fast as he's supposed to be able to run, the Flash couldn't keep up with him. And Superman, remember, can make the earth go back around and turn back time.
Correct.
If he goes out off board. Again, that's what I'm talking. That's exactly what I'm talking. Understanding each character and understanding the abilities and what's going on. You know, the Hulk. You know, everybody talking. You know, if you're a Marvel guy, the Hulk, supposedly as strong as he is and whatever else. And then they talk about all. But keep in mind, the madder the Hulk gets, the stronger. Why are we sitting there talking about Marvel and DC comics?
No, because we're not. You know, what you're saying is true, by the way. What you're saying is very important. Listen, what you're saying, this is business, by the way.
Yep,
this is business. If you're selling to your readers.
To your readers, right? and your watchers.
Yep. You better make sure that the film you're producing satisfies them completely. Because then who are you making the film for? Those are your grassroots, you know, watchers. You're not going to go against your grassroots watchers. You know what I mean? Yep. I understand you got to pick up other watchers, but you got to get the grassroots first because they're going to propel your movie further.
Right, exactly. Since this is okay if we're talking. So the Hulk, if the Hulk gets stronger, the madder he gets, and he's getting beat down, and he's getting madder, sooner or later, who's going to touch him?
Nobody. He's going to be ultimate. Yeah, but we know that because obviously we're comic fans, right? But right. What about those who don't know it? So they're not going to understand it. They're just going to watch a film. Oh, it's entertaining. But I think the real reason why the DC Comics and the Marvels have been propelled to such huge gravitas is because you have like 60 years worth of this, yeah. of this titles being fed to people, part of comics, the comic right. industry, part of TV, name drops, DC, super, like you're dropping these names, part of culture already. So if you make a good movie, it's going to succeed. But recently, the Marvel comics did not succeed so much, the Marvel movie. Specifically with what's his name again? Oh my God, Jackson. What's his name? He played in Nick Fury. What was it? He played.
Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah, Samuel L. Jackson. Yes, I forgot his first name. Samuel L. Jackson. So Samuel L. Jackson is a recent show. It tanked because they said they did not portray it the way they wanted it or the way the people's the viewers look at, because the comics are very, very vast. There's different right. genres of the comic, different versions, different storylines. You know, it's very, people's are a little taking like the Bible, man. You got to be careful when you're creating a production in that level, you got to be very careful.
Well, I mean, first of all, because that's the way we grew up. We grew up on these characters. These are some of the characters that we watched. These are characters that made us want to be actors or producers or be in the entertainment business in general.
All right.
So this is how we grew up. But even if you go to something like everybody, you know, I mean, I would love to play, who wouldn't want to play a hero? Who wouldn't want to play that? But my other character that I would love to play one day is G.I. Joe. I would love to be a G.I. Joe.
Wow, that would be an awesome. You so fit that character, by the way.
I would play a huge G.I. Joe player. Yep, I would love to do that. But again, I wouldn't want to be one of the G.I. Joe guys who's running around with a little gun. I want, because it wouldn't make sense.
No, that would be a joke. You're not Mission Impossible guy. You're not a 007. You're a G.I. Joe. You got to be with freaking big machete knives. You got to be with a huge M16s plus the freaking, you got to be loaded with all the guns prepared to shoot and fight anytime you need.
That's it.
The definition of G.I. Joe. I mean, that's the reality.
That's it. I wouldn't know. Oh no, I'm not going to be an undercover, whatever, sneaking my big ass up into some, you know, Cobra.
No, you're not an ops agent.
I'm kicking the door in.
Yeah.
I'm taking out four or five guys, you know.
You're the head battalion soldier that's running the show to take over the snakes, whatever. I forgot what the name of the bad guys. Whatever, my kids know better than me now, but I'm so busy working, you forget about these things sometimes. Yeah, no doubt. Like that's your play, that's your position.
Right, right. So I think that's where a lot of actors, some actors, they just want to play everything that comes their way. Every role, you know, some of them just don't know how to say no, and they don't. You got something else for me? I don't think this is, I have no problem doing dramas. I love doing comedy. But if you're coming to me and you want me to be the pretty boy, blah, 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 you know, baby, you know, I mean, that's not really me. You know? Unless I'm the bad guy grabbing the girl, or I'm the tough guy grabbing the girl. But that whole, you know, suave, debonair,
well, that's not your brand. You can't diminish your brand. You're not a beta male. You're a masculine alpha male. I mean, that's your brand. That's what you're doing. That's who you are.
And therefore, going right back to your question before about the business side,
right?
That goes right. See how we just came full circle.
Back to the business side. And that most actors and actresses and people in the WWE are for sure key entrepreneurs. I mean, I see that. Yep. I see that for sure. They are the real entrepreneurs because you've endured and you put your dues to society to get to where you are. I mean, the brutality that goes in WWE, people don't understand that.
They don't understand
how it is. But how many WWE players and wrestlers have become big in the industry? Because I see you as a big player in the industry. Dwayne Johnson, I think he's the biggest with Hulk Hogan, maybe.
And, yep.
But Hulk Hogan, I think, is more retired kind of thing.
Well, Hogan was the beginner, and then Dwayne, and now it's Dwayne. You know, everybody has their little stepping stone, and then you have to, everybody has to, sometimes you got to know how to step back and let the next one take over. You know, you had Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, he went from wrestling to the ring in the movies, and now you got Randy Orton. Randy Orton did some.
Also have John Cena.
You know what? That's a much better one.
Right. John Cena is like right next to, let's say, you could say probably next to Dwayne's. He's like following his path in a sense.
But I don't know. He says that. I mean, he actually, there was actually a big thing on A&E about them, about Cena following Dwayne's path, and you know, basically doing a lot of the same thing. You also got Batista. Batista's doing the same, you know, doing a lot. I mean, he's doing a lot. A lot of people, he's kind of like the sneaker. He's kind of like the under guy, but I mean, he's done everything from James Bond movies to the Guardians of the Galaxy to, right. You know, Riddick. You know, I mean, he's done a lot of stuff that people just kind of forget. They just kind of.
He's always in the background, like you said, because of his height and his weight class. So he's always behind. They don't want to mix him in with the. He's like a lead role. I think now that makes sense what you're saying. Yeah, that's why they're always phasing him out in a sense.
Yeah,
if you think about it, he's just not been given the right roles for his.
Right, and remember, he did a really good comedy where he was the CIA agent taking care of the lady and her daughter. You know, I mean, he did a really, I forget the name of it, but he did a good comedy as well, a couple of good comedies as well. So, yeah, he doesn't get enough credit for his talent and everything that he's done. But like
very,
you said,
right. It's like you said, it's because
Cena pays up
front.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm just saying, like you said, Cena and The Rock, they're always the lead. They stay in the leads. They stay the leads as much. Possible. The only time Cena hasn't really been a lead was in Fast and the Furious. But then again, he was, you know, Dom's brother.
Right.
You know, right. So I mean, yeah, okay.
Right. So it was already. Yeah, but at the same time, what I'm seeing is there's a huge, you got the WWE wrestlers are really breaking in and breaking out in Hollywood, like you and like everyone else that, you know, that we're mentioning their names. I mean, this is. I'm a little bit intrigued how that has become that way. I'm pretty sure that's not all the wrestlers, but it's very interesting how many wrestlers are getting success stories in this industry.
Well, yeah, I mean, for one, we don't have to be trained like a regular actor.
I think that's the best. That's the benefit.
You know, and the stuff like now, there are people who are going to watch this. Who's going to watch this? And they're gonna notice my facial expressions. I mean, that's how I talk because I did it for so long as a wrestler that I show facial expression. You know, I cannot just sit and have a conversation with somebody like this and just be like,
oh no, I don't want to. I wouldn't want it. I will shut this down right away.
You know, but wrestlers, we naturally, you know, after a few years of it, you naturally get to where your facial expressions. So imagine what that is for a director not to actually have to direct somebody.
Right, because so we have to conclude on the wrestling aspect of things. The reason why many wrestlers get so many good roles, right? And of course, those who actually pursue it instead of potentially ruin their lives, right? By God forbid, you know, that's a different topic about the drug.
Different way, right.
Different topic altogether.